What a great truth and song, amen. Be the greatest decision any of us ever make to give him everything. So actually, the Bible says it's our reasonable service. I hope I give him my everything. Well, I'm excited for the opportunity to preach tonight. Some of you didn't ask for it. You came thinking you was going to hear the pastor preach tonight. And so he didn't tell you this morning because he wanted you to come back. And so I'm glad to see all of y'all here. I'm glad to see some of my friends here, Bruce and Mitchell and Brian. Three guys have been coming. I almost stood up, Pastor. When Pastor asked if anybody wanted to stand up and just praise the Lord for something, I almost stood up, but I was like, I'm going to be standing up here in a minute. Y'all didn't know it yet, so I could have stood up and y'all wouldn't have thought, well, he just wants to keep talking, right? But I almost stood up, and I mean it. I wanted to praise God for these men and some other men that have been coming to my house. I've been having a Bible study. Many of you know that. Some of you have prayed for it, and I sure do appreciate it. But God has just used it. They think that I'm helping them, but I'll be honest with you. I really believe over the past 2.5 months that we've been doing this, God's used them to help me more than I've helped them. And so I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to serve him, and I praise the Lord for men that that have been coming to my house. And I appreciate you being here tonight. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad to see you guys. You make me nervous, you being here, but it's okay. You ought to be nervous when you're preaching God's word. Amen. Pastor Brandon read to you in Matthew chapter number 6, and I've really been praying. Some of the young people, you're going to hear a message tonight that you've heard before, and I hope you'll listen to me. I hope you won't turn me off, but I really prayed about what God wanted me to preach tonight, and I'll be honest with you, I just couldn't get away from something that I've been preaching to our young people for some weeks. For, I don't know, about a month and a half, I've been preaching on Wednesday nights to our young people about the prayers of Jesus. And God has really been working in my life and working in my heart. And I said, I praise him for this Bible study. This Bible study has been a part of that. God's just been reminding me week in and week out as these men come to my house that if I'm going to help them, it's going to be him that does it. And I really believe this. I'm not just saying it. I mean it with all of my heart. I realize more now than ever. I've been saved for 16 years, and I realize more now than ever how much I need the Lord. To stand here before a group of people tonight is overwhelming. And I understand that I have nothing in myself to give you, but I'm confident that the God that lives inside of me does. And so I just want to try to encourage you tonight with some things about prayer. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about prayer. God has really been dealing with me about this subject of prayer. And so with God's help, I want to preach to you tonight a message on prayer. I've got two messages with me. My wife said, I sure hope you don't preach both of those messages. I'm keeping tots. And so she said, "That please don't preach both messages." I said, I'm not going to preach both messages. I'm going to preach one message with parts of both of them in it. But I want to read to you Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 5. Pastor Brandon read it in your ears. The Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites." I want us to look first at this in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to use this as a springboard. Actually, if you would, real quickly, go ahead and find your place in Mark chapter 1. Hold your place here in Matthew chapter 6 and find your place in Mark chapter number 1. Because I'm going to use Matthew 6 to kind of springboard into a message out of Mark chapter number 1. In this subject of prayer, I'm just convinced now more than ever of the importance of prayer in our lives. Brother David stood up here this morning and he exhorted us really about that subject, about prayer. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our family. And I just want to challenge you tonight and encourage you. If one person leaves this place tonight with a burning desire in their soul to pray, then I'll feel like something was done tonight. I just want to encourage you to pray. And so Matthew chapter number 6, that's what Jesus is doing here. This is the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. Some people call it the Sermon on the Mount. I like to refer it as the greatest sermon ever preached because it was preached by the greatest preacher to ever preach, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this preaching, the Lord Jesus is encouraging his disciples to pray. He's exhorting them to pray. Look at verse 5. He says, "And when thou prayest," he says, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The first part I want to look at in this encouragement, I'm just using this as a springboard. I want to look at, I believe Jesus talks about three types of prayer here, and I want to focus in on the third one. But the first one I see here is hypocritical praying. Look at it. Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Jesus says, hey, I want to encourage you guys to pray, but when I do, I want to remind you not to be a hypocrite in your prayers. You say, what is hypocritical praying, Brother David? Well, I think hypocritical praying has to do with their motive, right? Look at what it says they did. It says the hypocrites, he said, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, and look at it, that they may be seen of men. You see, that's hypocritical praying. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't pray to be seen of men. He says that should not be your motive when you pray. You know, I'll be honest with you, this is on a side note, but God's really was speaking to me this afternoon as I was preparing and as I was praying and I was thinking about this. And, you know, I've been guilty of this, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been guilty of hypocritical praying. When I'm called on here at church to pray, or when I have an opportunity in a public setting to pray, if I'm not careful, I'll get up and pray like a hypocrite prays, to be seen of men. You say, not you, Brother David. Oh, yeah, me. Probably you if you're honest. You see, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll pray like the hypocrites. And Jesus, I don't believe for one minute Jesus is condemning public prayer. Actually, I know he's not, because Jesus himself prayed publicly numerous occasions in the Bible. You can find it in Luke chapter 11 and John chapter 10 and in some other places where Jesus Christ himself stood up and prayed in public. So I'm not saying that public prayer is wrong. What our pastor just did was public prayer, and it's in the Bible, and it's okay. But if we're not careful when we pray publicly, we'll pray like the hypocrites pray, and Jesus says, don't do that. Why? Because their motive is wrong. They're praying to be seen of men. Not only is their motive, but their method. The Bible says that they stand in the street corners. They stand in the synagogue. It reminds me of that Pharisee in Luke chapter number 11, I believe it is Luke chapter 11, or no, Luke chapter 18. The Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I've done that before. Stood and prayed with myself, Brother Eric. Like I was performing instead of praying. We got to guard against it. Jesus says, don't pray like the Pharisees pray. No, those are hypocritical prayers. It's a performance prayer. You know, when somebody's praying and they've been praying, and before you know it, you're sitting there praying with them, and you almost wonder, did the preaching start? I need to look up. Am I the only one that's ever been there? Okay, I'm sorry. I've been where somebody's praying, and it's such a performance that I wonder, man, I might need to look up, because I think they've been stopped praying and started preaching. And I'm not saying public prayer is wrong, but I'm saying we got to be careful about hypocritical praying. What is our motive when we pray? What are we trying to do? We're trying to be seen of men. And I said this a minute ago as I was praying this afternoon and thinking about preaching. Can I tell you? I told God tonight. I tell him every time I preach, just about. I told God tonight, I said, God, if my motive is wrong, God, let me fail. If my motive is wrong, see, I don't know my heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I told God, God, if my heart is wrong tonight, if my motive of preaching tonight is so somebody would applaud me, or somebody would pat me on the back, or somebody would leave this church tonight and say, man, I tell you, that Brother David, he's a pretty good preacher, then I have failed tonight. And I asked God, God, if that's my motive, if that's my desire tonight, is to impress somebody with the preaching of your word, God, let me fail. That's not my desire tonight. No, I want to encourage somebody to pray. And Jesus is saying, hey, be careful when you pray, not to pray as the hypocrites pray, to be seen of men. Their motive, right? But then he moves on and he talks about in verse number 7, I'm going to skip verse 6, verse number 7, he talks about heathenistic praying. Look at verse 7. It says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. So he said, hey, don't pray like the hypocrites pray. Their motive is wrong. Right? Their motive is wrong. He said, but don't pray like the heathen pray. They use vain repetitions. And I think about that vain, it means empty. It says, you know, I think Jesus is saying, hey, be careful about praying the same thing over and over again to where it becomes vain. It's empty. Now, I don't believe, again, that Jesus is teaching against praying the same prayer. Okay? So stay with me. Just over a couple verses later, Jesus tells his disciples, ask. And keep asking. And keep asking. He says, seek and keep seeking and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking and keep knocking. You see, Jesus taught that we should come to God over and over in our prayers. That's okay. He talks about it in Luke chapter number 11. He talks about the unjust judge. Maybe that's Luke 18, but he talks about that woman, that widow that came to the unjust judge, and he come to her and he prayed and he asked her for something. And the Bible says that the judge, because of her much asking, he said, I'm going to go ahead and reward her. And Jesus said, how much more shall your Father in heaven, a just judge, if he'll answer her request because of her much asking, how much more will your Father do for your much asking, right? In Luke chapter 11, it's where the man came at midnight, and Jesus says, he come at midnight and he asked his friend for some bread. He said, get up out of the bed. I've got some folks that came from out of town and I need to give them some bread. And the Bible says, because of his importunity, because he wouldn't stop, the man got up and gave him what he asked for. So Jesus taught that we should continue to come to him, but it shouldn't be vain repetition. That's the way the heathen pray. And I've been guilty of that. I mean, I don't know, y'all looking at me. Am I the only one here tonight that's ever been prayed like the heathen, where I'm just going through the motions? I read this after one man. One man said this about that verse, and I thought it was interesting. I wrote it down. He said, all of us have one routine prayer in our system. And once we get rid of it, then we can really start to pray. Did you hear that? I read that and I thought, wow. He said, we all have one routine prayer in our system, and once we get rid of it, then we can really start to pray. I can't tell you the times that I've gotten on my face before God and I've went through prayer, and 5 minutes into my prayer, I thought, well, I haven't even been praying. It's a ritual. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, don't pray like the heathen pray. Don't pray vain repetition. Don't pray ritualistic prayers like the heathen do. They think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. It basically means for their babbling, for just going on and on, for saying the same thing. Jesus says, don't pray that way. I'm going to tell you, I've been guilty of that praying before. I can't tell you the times I've sat down for a meal and I've prayed for my food or said some words for my food and then put a bite of food in my mouth, and the second I started chewing on it, the Holy Spirit of God smote me right in my heart and said, you didn't pray. Vain repetition. Ritual. It's good. I'm a routine person. I believe we ought to pray for our meal. I believe we ought to get into a routine. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But I think we got to guard against that type of praying, ritualistic praying, where it's vain, where it's empty, where it doesn't mean anything. We can do it in service. I can't tell you the times that I've gotten up to pray. I try to remind myself when I sit over there and read the scripture on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. This Sunday morning when I sat there and I knew I was getting ready to come up and read that scripture for pastor before he preached, I said to God, God, please let me pray. I don't want to talk to men. I want to talk to you. I don't want to be guilty of hypocritical praying. I don't want to be guilty of heathenistic praying. You see, their motive was wrong. It was just a ritual. It was repetitive. But in verse number 6, Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. So he said, don't pray as the hypocrites pray. Don't pray as the heathen pray. He says, I want to tell you how to pray. I put this one called holy praying. Holy praying. Jesus told his disciples here in Matthew chapter number 6, he's encouraging them to pray. In verse 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we see the hypocritical praying. We see the heathenistic praying. Here I see holy praying. That's the kind of praying I want to do. Holy praying. Jesus is encouraging his disciples to pray. Now I want you to go to Mark chapter number. I'm going to jump back here, so hold your place in Matthew chapter number 6. I want to go to Mark chapter number 1. Something I love about our Lord Jesus is he practices what he preaches. Do you hear me? He practices what he preaches. You see, Jesus was preaching to his disciples there on the Sermon on the Mount, and he encouraged his disciples to pray. He said, hey guys, pray. Pray. He said, when you pray. You know, Jesus didn't say if you pray. I've got that word when underlined in Matthew chapter number 6. He said, when thou prayest. He said, when thou doest alms. He said, when thou prayest. He said, when thou fast. You see, Jesus didn't say, if you give alms, if you pray, if you fast. No, he said, when you do it. It should be natural for a Christian to pray. Jesus said, this isn't something that I'm asking if you do. He said, when you do it. Disciples, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray like the heathen. No, you pray holy prayers. And then Jesus shows them by example. I believe in a timeline, in chronological order, here in Mark chapter number 1. We're not very far from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus preached to his disciples and he encouraged them to pray. And now here he is in Mark chapter number 1, and he's given them an example of that type of praying. And I want us to look at that here this afternoon. The Bible says in verse number 1, Mark chapter number 1, it says in verse number 35, Mark chapter 1 verse 35, it says this, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You see, Jesus is teaching his disciples, not just by his words, but by his actions. God help me to be a preacher that practices what he preaches. Amen. God help us as Christians to practice what we preach. And Jesus is doing that for his disciples. He's teaching them not just in word, but he's teaching them in action how to pray. And so first I want us to see this, the priority of his praying. Look at it, the priority of his praying. You say, I don't see it, Brother David. The Bible says, and. Man, I'm telling you, that word right there in itself shows that Jesus thought prayer was a priority. You say, why is that, Brother David? If you look back in Mark chapter number 1 and you read what all went on that Sabbath day, and then to think that Jesus got up early in the morning the next day to pray, you'll understand that Jesus thought it was important to pray. He said prayer is a priority. You see, the day before is a Sabbath day, and if you read it when you have time, maybe tonight when you go home, Jesus has been doing all kinds of things. He was in the synagogue, the Bible says, in verse number 21, he straightway on the Sabbath day entered into the synagogue, and then he's casting out devils, and he's doing great works. And in verse number 29, it says, they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Jesus healed her. And then the Bible says in verse 32, and at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and he cast out many devils, and he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. You see, Jesus had been very busy on this Sabbath day. He'd been casting out devils. He'd been healing sick people. He had been doing many wonderful works. But the Bible says the next morning, Jesus, it says, and he rose up early to pray. It was a priority. I wonder how much of a priority prayer is to us. That challenges me. I think a Sunday, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, I'm not going to be mean tonight. Some people are watching. Pastor was talking about it this morning. Some are watching. But some are working. Man, you get up, some of you drive a bus. You didn't drive it this morning, but you drive a bus. You get up early on Sunday morning. Rain, snow, sleet, shine. You get up early in the morning and you go and you run your bus route and you bring folks to church and you teach a Sunday school class and maybe you have children's church that Sunday and then you drive your bus route home and you get home just maybe enough time to eat a sandwich about 3:30, 4 o'clock and then it's 4:30, 5 o'clock and it's time to come back to church and maybe even that Sunday we got a Sunday school teachers meeting or we got a bus workers meeting or we got a Christian school meeting or we got a music meeting but you don't get but about an hour and you got to be back at church. And you come back to church and you sit through the preaching and then you hang out for a little while and you talk to people and then you go home and you think, whew, that was a busy day and I got to get up early in the morning. I got to be at work. I got to run my route. I got to do my job. I got lots of things to do. And if we're not careful, we won't think prayer is a priority. But Jesus is teaching his disciples, not just with his words, by encouraging them to pray. No, by example. He's showing his disciples, hey guys, I know we had a busy day yesterday. I know we done a lot yesterday. I know that you're tired. He said, but you've got to have a priority to prayer. You've got to be willing to get up and pray. And the Bible says, and Jesus prayed, and. And it shows the priority of his prayer. I put there, it was essential. You know, we talk about things being essential in our day. A couple months ago, they tried to say that the church wasn't essential, right? The liquor store is essential. I won't even get into all that. But the church isn't essential. Well, the church is essential. But Jesus said, hey, prayer is essential. I wonder how important it is to us. God's been dealing with me about this. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. God has been dealing with me about this. How important is prayer to you, Brother David? That's what the Holy Spirit calls me, Brother David. No, I'm just playing. How important is prayer? Is it essential? See, I'm afraid if we're not careful, it's not. Jesus, the Bible says, he said it was essential. Even after a busy day, even after a long day of doing many great things, Jesus still saw the need to get up early and pray. The Bible says, and in the morning. I see there the essentialness of his prayer. Not only that, I see the earliness of his prayer. Look at it. It says, in the morning. And in the morning. The psalmist said, early will I seek thee. David said it, at evening and at morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. The Bible says Jesus in the morning, the earliness of his prayer. I wonder if we think it's important enough to get up early and pray. See, we think it's important enough to get up early and fix our lunch. Right? I'm just going to hit where we live at now, okay? It's important for us to get up and make sure we've got our lunch packed, some of us. Some say, no, I'll sleep extra 5 minutes and swing by McDonald's. Amen. God help you. I wouldn't eat that stuff. If you bought it, but maybe Chick-fil-A's around. Amen. Get a shout out to Chick-fil-A. But what's it? You know, we do what's important to us. We get up early. Some people got to have a shower before they leave for work. So they get up early so that they can shower. Some ladies have to do their makeup or fix their hair. And so they get up early to make sure that they're fixed to go to work. Well, we know men. He gets up early enough to put deodorant on, right? Maybe brush his teeth, right? But we make time for what's important. Jesus said prayer's important. It's essential. We got to get up early if we're going to pray. Not only that, it's going to take some effort if we're going to pray. Look at it. It says, and in the morning, rising up. How many of you, just be honest with me. How many of you say, Brother David, it's kind of hard to get out of the bed? Okay. There's a couple of you like me. I'm a kind of a morning person. I like getting up. But that doesn't mean I'm going to run straight to the prayer closet. But it takes effort. And I say that, that's when I have to be somewhere at this time. If that time gets bumped up, then all of a sudden, everybody has their point that makes it hard, right? See, you say, well, if you got up when I got up, Brother David, you wouldn't like getting up, amen? So it kind of depends on when you get up, I will say that. But it takes effort. If we're going to pray, it's going to have to be an effort. It's going to have to be something that we put some effort into. And I just wonder tonight, how much effort are we putting into our prayer life? I'm just trying to encourage somebody tonight to pray. We need to pray. And if we're going to pray, we're going to have to put some effort into it. We're going to have to see that it's essential. We're going to have to get up early and spend that extra time with God. It might mean setting the alarm clock 15 minutes earlier or 20 minutes earlier so that we have time to spend with God. You see, it's essential. It takes effort. We see the earliness of his praying, the priority of it. Let us see this, the place of his praying. So we see the priority of Jesus' praying. Now let us look at the place of his praying. The Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You see, I told you Jesus is, he's being an example of what he encouraged his disciples to do in Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6, he said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Jesus is doing that right here. He's going into a solitary place, the Bible says. He went out and departed into a solitary place. It was a place of seclusion. It was a secret place. That's what he calls it in Matthew chapter number 6, a secret place. I wonder this evening, do we have a place? I believe in Matthew 6, Jesus said it's a stated place. He said, enter into thy closet. Now, I don't believe Jesus was saying, hey, guys, go into, you know, the coat closet. He's saying there needs to be a specific place, a stated place where you go and you spend time with God. And nothing I'm saying tonight is anything new. I'm just reminding people tonight. I'm just trying to encourage you tonight, as God has been encouraging me, the importance of prayer, the priority of prayer. And if we're going to put an importance on prayer, if we're going to see prayer as a priority, we're going to have a place. There's going to have to be a place, a stated place, a solitary place, a secret place, a secluded place, somewhere where we go and we meet with God. As I'm speaking right now, you should know that place. Everybody should know that place. Maybe I don't encourage this, but maybe it's in your bedroom. It's probably not a good place. You say, why? Because you probably fall asleep. Maybe it's in the bathroom. That might be a good place. How many of you know Brother Sammy Allen? They say Brother Sammy Allen prayed in the bathroom. I actually have tried to put that to practice in my life in the last couple months, and it's really helped me. I'm not saying you should do it, but I think everybody should have a place. They say Brother Sammy would go into the bathroom. Some of you that know Brother Sammy know this. They say if you traveled with Brother Sammy and was staying in a hotel, they said you better get up real early if you needed to go to the bathroom, because once Brother Sammy got up, he went into the bathroom and he shut the door and he wasn't coming out for nobody till he was done talking to God. So you'd be marching down to the lobby to use the bathroom if Brother Sammy made it into the bathroom in the hotel room, because that was his place. That was where he talked to God. And I'm just wondering tonight, do you have a place, a secret place where you meet with God? Maybe it's in the bathroom. Maybe it's in a bedroom. I don't know. Maybe it's on the back porch. I don't know where it might be. For Jesus, it was in a mountain. The Bible says Jesus departed into a mountain, into a solitary place. The Bible says he went out and departed into a solitary place. It doesn't say a mountain here, but if you read the same account in Luke, it says that he went into a mountain to pray. And the numerous times in the Word of God, it says Jesus went out into the mountain to pray. Sometimes he went into the desert place to pray. Sometimes the Bible says he went into the garden to pray. But see, Jesus had a place where he prayed. It was his place. Do you have a place? I've been really encouraging our young people, get you a place where you pray. I've been telling my children, have a place. Have a place where you get alone with God. It's got to be a priority. And there's got to be a place where we get alone, and it's a solitary place. It's a secluded place. It's a stated place. It's a secret place. He said in Matthew chapter 6, shut the door. It's a separated place. The Bible says here in Mark chapter number 1 that Jesus, rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed. He went out and he departed. You see, he separated himself. You know, if we're going to have the kind of prayer life Jesus is talking about to his disciples in Mark, in Matthew chapter 6, and the type of prayer life he is showing his disciples in Mark chapter number 1, we're going to have to separate ourselves to pray. I'm telling our young men, I hope they're listening. Maybe they didn't catch it the other Wednesday night and God wanted me to preach it again. If you're going to have a time of prayer with God, you have to turn that cell phone off. I can't tell you the times that I've went into my secret place to pray, and no sooner than I get on my knees, you say, what is that? My phone's on vibrate. You got 5 kids, you better have your phone on vibrate, amen? Ain't nothing like messing up a secret place, waking up a newborn baby. I can't tell you the times. It's my mom. If she's watching tonight, she's got an inner tuition of when we're getting ready to leave for church or I'm getting ready to pray. She never fails. Mom calls. I'm like, what? Get thee behind me. No, I'm just playing. I'm just joking. I love you, Mom. But it's got to be a separated place. That's what Jesus did. He went out. You know where Jesus was here in this story? It said he was in Simon Peter's house. I believe that's where most people believe Jesus was staying. He had went into Simon Peter's house, and he had cast the sickness, the fever out of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and I believe he was staying there with Simon Peter. I can't prove it, but I believe it. I believe he was staying there with them. And the Bible says Jesus went out. Why? He had to separate himself. He had to get away from the company. He had to get away from the crowd. And if we're going to have a serious time of prayer, we've got to separate ourselves from everybody else. And I realize sometimes that's hard when you've got a lot of children or you've got a big family or maybe you live in a small house, but you've got to have a place and you've got to separate from the crowd. You've got to separate from all the company. You've got to separate yourself from the comfort. I think that might be what Jesus was doing too. He went into the mountain to pray. You say, why did Jesus go into the mountain to pray? I don't know. He had a busy day the day before. Maybe he was still a little tired. You know, the Bible says that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus was, yes, he was God, but he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And the Bible says that Jesus got tired. And so maybe Jesus was tired and he said, if I'm going to pray, I'm going to have to separate myself from comfort. I've got to get out of this house because it's going to be hard to pray by this fire. It's going to be hard to pray in the bed. It's going to be hard to pray here sitting on the couch. I'm going up into the mountain. I'm going out into the garden. I'm going into to the bathroom. I'm going into the basement. Man, I don't know, but I'm going to the place where I'm going to meet with God. He separated himself. A solitary place, a separated place, a secluded place, a secret place. I'll tell you this, it was a silent place. Jesus told his disciples, and I'm almost done, listen to me. In Matthew 6, he said, guys, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Why? Because you need some silence if you're going to pray. You have to block out all that other noise. You got to turn off that cell phone. You got to shut off the news TV. You got to turn off the sports channel. You got to separate yourself and you got to get away somewhere where it's silent, where you can spend time with God. God has been speaking to me about this. I hope I can encourage somebody tonight. Have you a place? You see, Jesus saw the priority. He had a place. Let's look at the purpose and I'm done. The Bible says in Matthew, Mark chapter number 1 here, verse 35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. I don't think that this is the purpose necessarily of his praying, but I do want to take note here that the Bible says that Simon and the other disciples followed after him. I told you in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus preached to them, guys, you need to pray. Guys, you need a closet of prayer. Guys, you need a stated place. You need a solitary place. You need a silent place. You need a secret place where you go and talk to God. And now here Jesus is a couple chapters later, if you go in chronological order, and Jesus is getting up and he's showing his disciples what he meant. He's going into that place and praying, and they're following him and they're watching him and they're learning from him. I pray to God that my children will watch me and learn from me that it is important to pray. Can I tell you, your children are watching you. Our children are watching us. Our spouse is watching us. Say, the people that live with us, they know whether we pray or not. Have you ever been caught praying? If you haven't, there's probably something wrong. Unless you live by yourself. Then if you got caught praying, it'd be kind of awkward. It'd be weird. So we see the purpose of his praying. The Bible says that Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And verse 38 says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. You say, where do you see the purpose here, Brother David? Well, in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus told his disciples in verse number 6, he said, when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. I put here that Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer. You see, he told them in Matthew chapter number 6, he said, guys, you need to go into the quiet place and you need to acknowledge God. He said, you need to pray to thy Father. You need to acknowledge God. You say, why? Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 6, he said, your Father already knows what you have before you ask him. You say, well, why do I ask him then? Because it's acknowledging him. Brother Brandon preached last Sunday night about adoption, that we're his children and he's our Father. God says, I want you to acknowledge me. You know, when we go into a secret place and we talk to God, you know what we're saying? God, I know you're there. God, I know you exist. God, I know you hear me. God, I know you see me. See, we're acknowledging God. When was the last time that you went? I hope it was today. You went into a secret place and you acknowledged God. You said, God, I know you're there. I acknowledge you, God. He said, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. He said, acknowledge him. And he said, ask him. And he said, if you ask him, he will reward you. He said, he will answer. Jesus said, ask. James said, you have not because you ask not. In James chapter 1, he said, let us ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, God said, if you'll ask, I'll answer. And that's what Jesus is teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter number 6. He's saying, guys, you need to go into your secret place. You need to acknowledge God. You need to ask God for some things, and then God will answer. He will answer you. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can I tell you, God wants to answer our prayers. But some prayers are not getting answered because they're not getting asked. And Jesus said, you need to ask, and God will answer. And then he shows his disciples in Mark chapter 1. Jesus went and he prayed. And then when he come out of prayer, the disciples come to him and they found him. They said unto him, all men seek for thee. This is what they said, and I'm done. They said, Jesus, man, everybody's looking for you. All those miracles you did yesterday at the synagogue and the devils that were cast out. I'm reading into the scripture a little bit here, but I believe they were saying, Jesus, hey, they're looking for you. What are you doing? And Jesus said, guys, we're going to another town. I've been with my Father, and he's told me what to do. And it ain't go back to the same town. We're going to another town. He said, God's told me what to do. He said, he's told me, look at it in verse number 38. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. Jesus said, God's told me what to do. I got to go to the next town, and I got to preach there also. He said, I must go into the next town. Let us go into the next town. If you read over in Luke, he said, I must. You see, he said, I've been with God and he's told me what to do. Not only has he told me what to do, but he's told me where to do it. And it ain't there today, fellas. I know you think we're going back to the same town today, guys, because of what happened yesterday, but I've been with my Father this morning in the secret place. I've been talking to God and he told me where to go today. He said, we're not going back there. We're going over there. He told him where to go. He told him what to do. He told him why to do it. He said, look, guys, he said in verse number 38, he said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there. That's what I'm supposed to do. The next towns is where I'm supposed to do it. For therefore came I forth. That's why I'm supposed to do it. He said, I've been with God this morning. I've been with the Father this morning. He's told me what to do. He's told me where to do it. He's told me why I'm going to do it, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Not only that, he told me who to do it with. He said, hey, guys, let us go. Let us go. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Dave? I believe if we'll spend time with God, I'm getting more and more convinced of this in my life right now. If we'll spend time with God, if we'll get into the secret place with God, God will tell us what to do. God will tell us where to go. God will tell us why to do it. God will tell us who to do it with. I'm telling you, we need to get a hold of God. There's somebody here tonight, and you say, Brother David, I don't know what my next step is. Well, ask God. Ask God. You say, I don't know what God wants for my life. Some of these young people, I don't know what career path to follow. I don't know who God wants me to marry. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get you a secret place, and you need to get alone with God, and you need to ask him, God, who do you want me to marry? God, where do you want me to go? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want for my life, God? And God will answer you. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, if you'll call unto him, he'll answer you. He said, go into the secret place. Ask him. He'll reward you openly. He'll show you. I just want to encourage you tonight, church. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, help me to be a man of prayer. I meant to bring my book by E.M. Bounds, and I left it on the counter. There's a quote I got highlighted. I read it every so often. I pull it out. There's a book called Power Through Prayer. I'm so mad I didn't bring that book. I searched all over the house for it, didn't I? I was a madman going on the house search. I had laid that book down, and I don't know if y'all like me, but I blamed everybody in the house. I had Adam looking, son, you moved my book. Meredith, what'd you do with my book? Where's the book? And it was in the basement right where I left it on my desk. I need to clean my desk. But I brought the book upstairs and set on the counter to bring with me, and I didn't. But Ian Bounds said, it's not me, and I'm just going to give you in a nutshell what he said. He said, it's not me. It's not methods that God's looking for. It's men. It's not programs. It's not plans. It's prayer. He said, God is looking for men of prayer, mighty in prayer. And that's what we're missing in our church today. I'm so convinced that that's what's missing in Christianity today. We have lost the art of praying. And God has really been dealing with my heart about this thing of prayer. God, help me to learn what it is to pray. I need to pray for my children. Pray for this church. Pray for our country. That was alliterated by accident, Brian. We need to pray. I challenge you right now, and I'm done. I challenge our young people. When I make this challenge, you're going to say, Brother David, that's simple. I want you to do it. I challenged our young people a couple weeks ago to take 10 minutes a day. I was going to do 15. I took a challenge a while back about 15. But I challenged them 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day in a secret place, you and God. I prefer it to be in the morning, but that's up to you. But 10 minutes every day, you say, well, Brother David, I'm already doing that. Well, great. I'll bet you in a room this size, there's many that are not. The devil fights prayer. If there's ever, in the 16 years I've been saved, if there's one area I've really struggled with, Pastor, is prayer. And if you've tried to pray, you've struggled with prayer. And I want to challenge you tonight, church, 10 minutes. I think it'll turn into 15. I think it'll turn into 20. But I challenge you tonight, 10 minutes every day this week, you and God, in a secret place. Leave the cell phone somewhere else. Get away by yourself and spend time with God. Jesus said, disciples, you need to pray. You need to pray. There's so many things we could pray about. When I first started this a couple weeks ago, well, it's been a little bit over that now. I'd start praying, and I'd pray for 5 minutes, and I'd think, goodness gracious, I've prayed for everything I can think of. But then the more I pray, start praying for our youth group. Every day, I made a vow. Pray for these guys, girls, every single day, by name, every one of them in our youth group. Pray for them every day. Then God laid on my heart, well, if you're going to pray for them, you need to pray for their parents. Going to pray for their parents, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's praying for this situation and that situation. It just grows and it grows and it grows. And I'm not standing up here saying this like the hypocrites, trying to say, oh, I've been praying. No, I can tell you this. In my Christian life, I've done a lot less praying than I have praying. But God help me. I want to be a man of prayer. And I want to challenge you tonight, church. Hey, let's pray. Let's pray. Our church needs prayer. We're talking about building a building on the side of Route 29. We're talking about starting a Christian school. We're talking about doing all kinds of things here in Madison County. Can I tell you, if anything we're talking about doing is going to happen, it's going to happen because some people learn to pray. And I believe I'm talking to a group of people that already know how to pray, but we got to keep praying. We can't stop praying. We got to pray. Prayer's where the power's at, brethren. We ought to pray for our pastor. God has really been the last pastor. Preaching last Sunday and preaching this Sunday, God has just reminded me of the importance of praying for my pastor. Not vain repetition, not, oh God, please just bless the preacher. No, God, please bless my preacher. God, fill him with your spirit. God, protect him, God. Clear his mind, God. Give him your wisdom, God. Do something in him, God. Help him, God. Protect him, God. Oh, there's so much that we could pray about. We need to pray. I'm done. Let's pray. If you would, stand to your feet, bow your heads. I appreciate your attention tonight.